Welcome to Keith and the Girl. I'm Keith Malley.
I'm Chemda.
Chemda's with us. I'm with you. Andrea Allen is here as well.
Hello.
The show is entitled Louis C.K. Returns. He did. He said, look, I put myself on timeout for a good solid 9 months. I'm ready to do comedy again. What do you think? And I thought, you know what? Maybe it's not fair to have a guest that's a comedian on this show and be forced to go public, although I would like to think everybody would be vocal, right? But it didn't seem fair to me.
Andrea doesn't mind.
No, I have no career, so.
No, I don't.
I think I have a little bit more liberty to talk about it as a female. I will say that. Like, as a man, I think male comedians are even afraid to say, like, I think he's funny, because they worry that it's going to maybe be taken out of context. So I do understand.
See, but that's why I think they should really be saying that. I think Louis C.K. is hilarious. I think that's why this is hard.
Yeah. Right.
It's he was my top three.
Sure.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I loved his specials. I still do, question mark. I don't know. I can't watch them. But
knowing they're real now.
Yeah. There's like a lot of jerking off stuff. But it's like, I don't know. Just what if you love a band and then they come out with the next album and you don't love the music? You don't have to love them. I know this is different, but it's interesting, like, that Louis C.K. will ruin your career, you know?
Well, I also think that, like, a career in comedy is so difficult. You have to make it in any sense of the word is hours and hours of work, and it's your passion, and you have to eat shit hard. So I think some comedians think, like, okay, what's the over-under risk on me making a public comment? Maybe I didn't think it out properly, and now they're seeing that, like, you can tweet something and you can lose a job. That being said, there's lots of people who tweeted stupid bull. Like, for me, I'm like, think about it a little bit. If you really stand beside it, behind it, then do tweet it. If not, then just, like,
I just think it's funny.
It's a big risk now.
I get it, and I get that it is a big risk, and I get it. But it's funny that, you know, the big risk is talking about it, and we don't understand the risk of the women coming out.
Yeah, totally.
You know, it's like,
well, of course.
Oh, why couldn't they come out years ago? Or why are they coming out, you know, 7 years later or whatever? Oh, they obviously just want to take it down. It's like, you don't even want to comment about it. You think they want to be the girl?
Right, they're pussies. But men are pussies, and we know this. And they just want to show us their man pussies in our place of work, and we should just be okay with it. Believe me, I am not, like, I think that it's braver to, I think it's easy to say that you don't condone his behavior, but I think people are very scared right now. And
yeah, but
for that, I can't fully fault them.
I understand. And I also have been in this studio asking a dude to take out his prick to show me, because we referenced
Kevin Allison doesn't count.
Kevin Allison, Chris Iacono, a couple other people, because we're talking about their dick. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, let me see your dick.
Yeah, but you asked them.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think all of this stuff could be inappropriate. I think it's the vibe. And I think that if they hesitated or looked at me funny, or Keith was like, why the fuck? You know, if I got any of that from anybody when I went, let me see your prick, I would be horrified. I think the difference is I'd be turned on if I had some of that in me.
Yeah, I don't like you comparing yourself to
things. I hate it.
So stupid.
I hate it.
It's such a not point.
I would like the audience to hear this right now. That's what I have to get to. So if we're going to play devil's advocate with asking to see a guy's penis who he brought it up because his dad tattooed eyes on his dick.
Yeah.
And then when he got of age, he tattooed eyes on his dick. We're not going to get anywhere.
Yeah.
I did, for the record, that's not me playing devil's advocate. That's me noticing the difference between a harassing dick comment and a non-harassing
dick
comment.
But the difference is so obvious. I don't even like playing stupid.
Okay. Yeah,
you know
because
what I mean.
People now are minimizing what he did. Now that he, like, people love a comeback, they like to minimize what he did. They like to say, like, does he deserve to lose his career over making a blunder sexually with women? It's
right.
Like, there's some of them where maybe a case could be made that he misread a signal in an ambiguous situation. But then there's, like, he asked a producer who worked on his show if he could masturbate in front of her in the business where they work while he had a wife and kids. Like, That is not a blunder. That's not like a hotel room whoopsie daisy. So it's like, it pisses me off that it's like, well, let's consider, and does he deserve? And it's like, there is no answer. No one has like a rule book with this, but we love to sort of like walk back and make things seem better than they were. And
right. For sure.
It's not.
Yeah,
it's not
better than it was. I have to stop myself from doing that.
And I'll remind you the accusations that he said were all 100% true. All right. But what made the news most recently is Norm Macdonald doing an interview for The Hollywood Reporter. Now, I'm not saying Norm Macdonald is the most awake person, and I don't mean a pun. I mean, literally, it's like he's half asleep. Some stupid shit that's going to come out of my mouth, but I'm naturally funny. And he is.
And yet you're a fan of his, no?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then you start reading some stupid shit. 58 years old, and he's talking to advertise a new Netflix show. So all the episodes are already done. That's how Netflix works, so you can binge watch them. And they're talking about how it's been a tumultuous year for Norm Macdonald in this article. Roseanne Barr, who gave him his first big break on Roseanne and then the reboot, ended up squandering all of that based on one tweet, which right away I get upset. It's not you're changing the past. Roseanne Barr didn't get fired, lose a whole job because of one tweet, or you really wouldn't know what world you live in. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? She didn't tweet a comment that could be considered racist and fired. It's absolutely racist. You know it was racist. And she has a history of this. She compared one of the Parkland shooting kids that were upset to a Nazi. She helped spread the rumor about Pizzagate, about Hillary Clinton having a pizza shop where kids were being molested. She has a history of this kind of behavior. It's such a hit, the Roseanne boot. You have to think, what would ABC get out of firing Roseanne? It wasn't easy, but guess what? The black female president went, enough! Just call a black lady a Planet of the Apes monkey.
Yeah, it seems like for people who are getting fired, it's because it's about money now. And I think that's always what will actually like move things forward is when there's financial punishments and it's whether or not you agree or disagree with Roseanne, they're seeing that there's enough people who are angry and it becomes a financial liability. And that's what it is. It's okay. Like, oh, and you know, so if you don't want to get fired,
right. but here's my
don't
point.
Push it with racist shit, but I don't know.
If anything, ABC will be on Roseanne's side. It makes no sense to think, well, ABC quickly threw her out to dry.
Yeah, because they lose money.
They lose millions.
Yeah.
I don't think that a network, we're giving networks so much credit for hiring and firing. It's not that. They hire and fire based on the advertisers, based on us responding and then the advertisers responding, and then they just do what's best for their wallet. Mm-hmm. It's always been like that.
Okay, so what? Louis C.K. ended up doing a foreword to Norm's book. So the article's saying, all right, this is how the whole thing came up. Norm Macdonald has a show. It's the new Netflix show.
Norm Macdonald has a show.
Right. You know what? I didn't even put that together. I really didn't.
You're hired.
Yeah. So the interview starts talking about Trump. And the interviewee asks, what about all this, what about all this emboldening of racism that's going on with Trump? And Norm Macdonald...
Does Norm Macdonald usually, he talks about social, political...
I don't give an opinion, but, you know, I'm trying to give a frivolous.
Yeah, he's pretty minimal in his commentary usually.
I live in LA, where I'm always faced with the lunacy of the left. I didn't know that the same lunacy existed on the right. So I never really bought into the notion that everybody is racist because there is a black president, you know? But the Sacha Baron Cohen show has been frighteningly an eye-opener. I was also in a bubble, but in a different way. I guess everyone is a fucking idiot. Everyone is an ideologue. Hopefully the pendulum will slow down in the next 4 years. And the interviewer says, and swing back toward liberalism? Not necessarily. I'm happy the hashtag MeToo movement has slowed down a little bit. It used to be 100 women can't be lying. And then it became one woman can't lie. And that became I believe all women. And then you're like, what? Like that Chris Hardwick guy, I really thought got the blunt end of the stick there. Mm. Now, that's a go-to I'm hearing a lot. Mm-hmm. Okay, what about Chris? Well, let's say Chris was exonerated. Okay, then he was. Then don't, you know, are you saying that's the same as Harvey Weinstein? No, because one's going to jail. Secondly, when Chris Hardwick got his job back on The Talking Dead, why did more than a handful of workers and a producer whose no names you know, who don't know where their next meal is going to come from, I'm not exaggerating, they don't know what their next job is going to be, all quit? Something's going on. That's all. That's interesting.
It's also, it's very interesting to be like, to almost lean that you want it to need to be 100 women that say it. You know, right. It used to be 100 women, now it's one. There's also another thing. We're talking about rape, which is very, very weird to talk about with people because we've been skirting around it for years. This mm-hmm. is very new to look it in the face and go, yeah, this is happening, right? But people, we've been talking about robbing and murdering, other things that could and should, you know, take you to jail or put you on some kind of timeout. If somebody said, Louis C.K. stole from me, and other people said, hey, yeah, he stole from me when I'm in, you know, when I'm backstage in the green room, I always have to kind of hide my wallet or think about it or to like leave it with someone. Then how many of those people would you need in order to suspect Louis C.K. of that particular mm-hmm. action?
Well, yeah, it's like, I hear a lot from male comedians about the burden of proof. Like there should be due process. There should be the burden of proof. But I'm like, in a sexual assault situation, what would your proof be? Why do you come from a place of she's lying? Prove that what she's saying is true versus she's telling the truth. And
when in the same breath, why are you saying that I would lie about that when you just warned me not to go to anyone's place, not to go to anyone's hotel room?
Yeah.
Why? What do you think of your friend?
Yeah.
What do you think of your gender? What do you think a man will do to me? Why when I called Keith the other day, I'm like, I think a dude was following me. Why didn't he hang up?
Yeah, like a dude, I never.
Right, yeah.
Tell me when there's 100.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and they also were
talking. By the way, Keith, there's 100.
Right.
Over time, millions.
Yes.
God. But also there's this like, you know, due process and fair. There's this outrage over fairness, which I always find hilarious, as if this world is fair. Like, I'm like, that is so cute that you think this world is fair. And now that you're being threatened in some way and there's a tiny, it's just such a self-centered reaction. Like, if I found out that men everywhere were getting raped constantly, and then when they tried to tell the truth, everyone blackmailed them, and then I would be like, that's crazy. I can't believe this is happening. My reaction wouldn't be like, well, let's have that rapist explain what happened. Like, it's such a...
And how could it be that all these men are getting raped?
It's such a horrible reality to face that I think part of it is not wanting to face it, and part of it is... okay, but how could this potentially fuck up my life? Which is such a self-centered fucking dickhead. I'm like, how can you say that to a person? That's fucking crazy to me.
What about when someone admits wrong, when someone admits to wrongdoing, says the interviewer. Norm MacDonald says, the model used to be admit wrongdoing, show complete contrition, and then we give you a second chance. Now it's admit wrongdoing and you're finished. So the only way to survive is to deny, deny, deny. That's not healthy. That there is no forgiveness. I do think that at some point it will end with a completely innocent person of prominence sticking a gun in his head and ending it. That's my guess. I know a couple of people this has happened to. So the interviewer goes, who? Well, Louis and Roseanne are two people I know. And Roseanne was
They put a gun in their face? Mm-hmm.
They're so rich.
And Roseanne.
And fine.
Right. And Roseanne was so broken up that I got Louis to call her. Even though Roseanne was very hard on Louis before that. But she was just so broken and just crying constantly.
Do you think he masturbated on the phone when he was talking to her?
Yeah, why does she need Louis C.K. to call her?
Well, I had to do anything. She was crying.
What?
There are very
Did she hang up the phone when he started masturbating? Because you got to hang up the phone. I know. I have my opinion on this as someone who's never experienced it.
You know what my favorite used to be? And I think we've slowed down on this one. Mm-hmm. We used to talk about sexual harassment on the street, like people constantly calling out. And a lot of guys' response would be, I would love it if that would happen to me. And I'm like, yeah, you would love it if guys yelled, screamed at you while you walk down the street. And they're like, no, women. I go, yeah, I would love that too.
Yeah.
I would love it too. I would love if I walked down the street and women said, wow, nice dress. I'd be like, Oh, thank you.
Beautiful women who can't kill and rape you. You know what's funny about this? The great irony of Louis C.K. is like one of my favorite bits about what it is like to be a woman in the world is Louis C.K.'s bit. And he's talking about how men are statistically the biggest threat to women.
Yeah.
Like he's like historically watching it now, like makes me like, because he's so self-aware. But
because he's like, trust me.
Yeah, believe me, I ruin their lives. But he.
This is why I can't understand this. This is why it was so hard for me. And it's hard for me to stay in that head with Louis C.K.
Yeah.
Because I'm just like, no, he gets it. If you get it, why would you do it? It's so hard for me to do that. Well,
it's there's something sinister about having such a, like a beautiful comedic mind to be able to make that funny and make people understand it. Like the punchline is like, imagine going out for men, imagine going out with like a bear slash lion and be like, I hope you're not going to do what I know you're going to do. And it's like, if you know that, if you know how threatening you truly are, and then you joke about it, you become famous from it, and then you do the behavior. It's like, I don't know. That's just, that's even... It like when a dumb idiot meathead turns out to be a sexual predator, I'm like, well, yeah, I mean, yeah, I saw the popped collar, like I knew, but with him, it was like, fuck.
Yeah.
Our friend Louis.
It's so hard to swallow that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There are very few people that have gone through what they have, losing everything in a day. Of course, people will go, what about the victims? But you know what? The victims didn't have to go through that.
He doesn't know what he's talking about.
He
doesn't understand.
Yeah.
He doesn't understand who's going through what. He understands that that would devastate him to lose the show that he was about to have.
Right.
He understands that aspect of it. He doesn't understand having lost it earlier on, having lost it throughout it, based on this person's response to you.
Well, you said blackmailed. You meant blacklisted, I believe. But yeah, these women.
Well, blackmailed too.
That's true.
Harvey Weinstein blackmailed several actresses into staying quiet and like threatened their lives, hiring weird like SEAL team people. Like there are such huge threats to these women. It's disgusting.
What did the two of them talk about? They both said they had a good conversation. We're just giving any advice you can give to each other. What are we talking about?
What are you doing with your millions now that you have time?
Yeah.
There would be no way for me to even understand that advice because who has ever gone through such a thing? All their work and their entire life has been wiped out in a single day, a moment.
No, it was wiped out when you made the decision to sexually assault the women that you worked with and you took the risk knowing that it could be found out. You made that decision. He made that decision. If he lived a life that he pretended to live, then this wouldn't be happening to him. It's not like these women jumped into his hotel room when he was masturbating and were like, yes, gotcha.
Do you mind if I finish?
Yeah.
Because I'm mid.
Yeah. I Me Too'd you. That's another thing. Like I got Me Too'd as if it's like something that we do. Like we have this, I got my Me Too quota. I don't want to do this. I just want to exist as a human being, but you can't keep your fucking prick.
That's what it feels like they think we like doing it.
No,
like, why do I don't want to talk about this.
I like seeing pieces of shit finally get called out for the like systemic horrible situation that they put us in, but I'm not like, oh, today's the day I'm gonna go to an open mic and hear someone say Bill Cosby's was framed, and then I'm gonna lose my shit and lose all my time on stage because I just spent it screaming at someone. Like, you are wasting my time above all, which is you're raping my time too, sir.
What are people even saying when they say, do they think for a second when they say the Me Too movement went too far? Eventually, we'll just stop using the word and the hashtag because time will go by, but nothing will change in the way that we're getting better at women feeling brave that they can turn these guys in. What do we say? What movement is going too far? Do you know what I mean? It literally doesn't make sense.
You're right. What is too far?
It's such a tidal wave of feminazis.
It's just a word for it, so you can throw it into a headline. What are you talking about? A move? Things are getting better. Yes, it is a movement, but the world is shifting to a better place. There's not new laws.
Yeah, it's also like, wouldn't you want, if you're not, there's no allegations against Norm Macdonald.
Yeah.
And if you're a good guy, wouldn't you be happy about this? Like, okay, I'm a good guy and I've never done anything egregious in my career and this doesn't affect me because I didn't do anything. I understand there's a sliver of a point which I do get is that like the internet can immediately go into outrage over like a nuanced tweet or something like that. But like, that is a bigger problem about our media that I don't know why it's somehow being shifted into like, let's call rape victims pussies for ruining rich people's careers. Like, say that sentence back to yourself, idiot.
If Barr gave your first job in Hollywood, you also wrote for the reboot. Is she a racist? I always knew her as a very left-wing person on the original show. She had the network sitcom's first gay couple. She would always want more minorities on the show, on the rating staff. When she did this reboot, it was all her idea to get all these different orientations and religions and so forth represented. So that's how I always knew her. She is certainly not a racist. That's just crazy. I personally, Keith Malley, do not know Roseanne. I can only go by what she puts out in public on social media, and it definitely leans racist.
Yeah.
That's all I can tell you.
Well, she could also be mentally ill. Like, that's another thing. And if that's the case, if she's mentally ill, she needs to be, like, not in the public eye. And that's another thing. But it's like, you can't, I don't know. You can't ignore the evidence right in front of you. She called a black woman a monkey.
Right.
Can you imagine?
She's a cross between the Muslim Brotherhood and Planet of the Apes. So... yeah, Muslim's not a positive there. And mm-hmm. Planet of the Apes, what other way could it mean? What other way could it mean?
Yeah.
They bring up Michael Che and Colin Jost because they work the job on SNL, the news, as Norm Macdonald used to. What do you think about them? Michael has drawn some heat, the interviewer says, for suggesting stand-up comedy has lost the plot, that it's more about confessionals and identity politics than making the audience laugh. And Norm says, I've never seen this Nanette thing, because I never wanted to comment on it.
Oh, good. Give your opinion if you haven't seen it.
But from what I've read about it, Hannah Gatsby is saying that comedy is now not about laughter. And of course, that's a slap in the face of a traditional stand-up comedian who thinks that comedy by dictionary definition is about laughter and that that's your job. You actually do have a job on stage. Nanette doesn't sound like stand-up to me. That sounds like a one-woman show. And one-person shows are, to me, incredibly powerful. But it's not stand-up comedy, and it's not the same thing. I only saw the trailer for Nanette. Of course it's stand-up.
Yeah.
What is it?
Yeah.
Horror?
Yeah. There becomes these catchphrases amongst old, crusty white dudes. That's not stand-up is one of the, yeah. is the Nanette take. One of them says that they're all like, oh, good, that aligns with a woman not being good at her job. Okay, I'll agree with that. With Louis, the masturbating on the phone thing. It's like, why didn't she hang up the phone? There's all these like these group opinions that they come to, and then that's all they'll fucking say.
Right.
The balls to not even watch it and to have an opinion on it is so fucking entitled. I'm going to review this thing that I didn't see.
It's based on other people's reviews.
On other right. dudes that I like.
Yeah, what team am I on? Tell me what to say and
yeah,
I'll say it. That's
you're talking
exactly
about polarizing. You're being polarizing.
You're standing up and you're telling jokes. I only do it once a year. What is it, a lecture? It's stand-up.
Yeah.
What sets Norm Macdonald has a show apart from the current wave of comedian-hosted talk shows? And Norm says, I decided very early on there can be nothing topical. Ever since Jon Stewart, late night hosts have all been forced to become political pundits, you know?
Jon Stewart was forced?
Even down to Jimmy Fallon.
Someone took their dick out and was like, do political jokes.
Jimmy Fallon is a political... Jimmy Fallon plays mini golf.
Well, this is what he's saying. Even Jimmy Fallon, who should just be silly...
Jimmy Fallon is not stand-up.
...is attacked for his treatment of Donald Trump. And the interviewer says, do you think Fallon has been unfairly criticized, you know, for humanizing Donald Trump? Completely. He is just all about fun and silliness. That's what his audience wants. And then to be maligned for quote unquote humanizing Trump. Funny, I thought he was human. If you have the nominee to be president on your show and he is your guest, then he is your guest. Don't have him on the show if you don't want him. And I thought it was funny because he was just banned from the Tonight Show after this article came out.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, I mean,
I get it. Jimmy Fallon, so he, when Trump came
on. Or at least when I say banned, just to be clear, he was scheduled and he was canceled.
Norm was? Okay.
When Trump was on Jimmy Fallon, it was, you know, while he was running, right? And he messed with his hair and mm-hmm. he kind of played games with him and he got some shit for it. And I get that. And I get why he messed with his hair and I get why he was jokey about it. And then he apologized for it because he thought, in hindsight, I helped the bullshit. Mm-hmm. And in hindsight, I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is it.
Sure.
That's it.
Yeah.
You know, because it was a silly thing and he is a comic and it is a stupid fucking late night show.
Yeah, so, this is before Trump was putting kids in cages and then he was like, maybe, maybe it's a little more serious to...
Yeah, and I get it. He didn't know that his role was to be more serious because he's a comic. So whatever. He already commented on that. You don't have to take back his apology for him. Mm-hmm. You don't, he wasn't affected. What's going on with Jimmy Fallon? Is he okay?
Right.
Can you check on him? Mm-hmm. Did he get out of bed this morning?
Yeah, that's who you're worried about more than a rape victim.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, don't worry about it.
Roseanne and Louis, Norm Macdonald feels forced to tweet, if you ask me. Roseanne and Louis have both been very good friends of mine for many years. They both made terrible mistakes, and I would never defend their actions.
If my words are defending their actions.
Literally. If my words sounded like I was minimizing the pain that their victims feel to this day, I am deeply sorry.
Who did he pay to write that?
No, but you can... I will accept your apology if you explain to me what you think you did when you minimize. What does that mean to you? Because right now, you're just telling me like, hey, if I bothered you, I want you to tell me why you think you bothered me. Because with everything that you're saying, it seems like you're coming from ignorance and that's having you come off weird. You don't understand the, and I know people hate these words, but you don't understand the struggle that the other side of this went through. And you're speaking out of ignorance. Mm-hmm. The fact that you speak in that way when this is such a, like by your telling, it's a tumultuous time to speak like that, then why don't you take a half a second to think, what if I was on the other side? Because why am I doing it for the Louis C.K.'s and the Roseanne? So take a second to go, well, I guess there is another side here, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's another thing too, is like comedians traditionally fight for the underdog always. I feel like that's kind of your job as a comedian to take all perspectives. And it's like, okay, does big, rich Louis C.K. need you to defend him because he's not, doesn't have a good reputation in the public right now? Or maybe you should step back and do a little critical thinking about the state of the world. Like, it's so, it just seems there's no actual attempt to explore exactly what's going on.
And also, we're asking comedians about very, very serious things now, and I get it. So one of the things, if you believe comics should just tell jokes, you know, like he's saying Nanette is not stand-up, but if you believe that you're there just to tell jokes, then that should be your answer.
Yeah.
That should be your answer of like, you know what? This is such a big topic. I haven't even wrapped my mind around it. And I feel bad in a lot of different ways so much that I don't even know how to express what my actual opinion is because my head is spinning from all the information. I think even that's a better answer than poor Louis. That's all. You could be in some sort of fucking hell over, you know, what do words mean? You know, what is the action?
Yeah.
How did we fuck up? Who fucked up? You know, even if you're in that head, that's what you say. But you don't go, I write for a living. I express myself for a living. But oopsie doodle when it doesn't work out for you.
You know,
it's lazy is a lot of it. It's a lot of it is lazy and just taking the views of others who you think are correct.
Well, you used the word comeback a couple times, and that's exactly what everybody's saying. And one of the victims is saying, I'm being asked if I think CK will make a comeback. This is before he came back to stand up. The idea that CK re-entering the public eye would ever be considered a comeback story is disturbing.
Right.
The guy exploited his position of power to abuse women. A comeback implies he's the underdog and victim, and he is neither. CK is a rich, powerful man who is fully aware that his actions were wrong. Yet he chose to behave grotesquely simply because he could.
Yeah. He's not like a hockey team filled with ragtag underdogs. It's a dude that jerked off in front of his coworkers.
So just to remind you, in 2002, the Chicago comedy duo of Dana Goodman and Julia Wolof landed a big break, a chance to perform at the U.S. Comedy Arts Festival in Aspen. This was the New York Times article. When Louis C.K. invited them to hang out in his hotel room for a nightcap, they were very excited. Of course, the bars were closed, and they wanted to celebrate. As soon as they sat down in his room, still wrapped in their winter jackets and hats, Louis C.K. asked if he could take out his penis. They thought it was a joke, they laughed it off, and then he did it anyway. He proceeded to take all his clothes off, got completely naked, started masturbating.
Oh, God.
Completely naked is so much more
so
weird.
If they're wearing mittens, wear your underwear.
He's always there. There's also this Louis just a pervert is another angle that I get. And I'm like, believe me, I'm okay with perverts. I pissed on a man. I'm into it. But there's a difference.
I love your clarification.
Being,
right.
Believe me, I've done horrible things consensually. There's nothing. People are doing this angle like he's a pervert and his sexual life would like interfered with his job. Like almost like people are not being sex positive with him right. somehow. Yes. I'm like, yeah. No. If I whipped out my pussy in the workplace, you guys wouldn't be like, Andrea. That is.
Look into that, but yeah. Let's focus on
yes.
work now.
Yeah. You'd be like, you need to stop that.
That'd be great if right now Andrea goes, can I take out my pussy? And we're like, okay, anyway, what were you saying, Keith? And then she just gets naked and starts touching herself, yeah. Like right now. And then Keith and I start going like, do you think we said something that yeah. Would make her do right. that?
Do you understand this first story I read? And it does get worse as far as I'm concerned. That wasn't consensual, even this first story I just read.
No. Because the asking, I don't know, only him, only those women and him know exactly what happened in that hotel
well,
room.
I'll tell you what, well, you say that, but let's be clear, that he said, and I'll tell you how, what he said the next day. At first, he wasn't going to agree with this article. He was hoping it wouldn't come out so bad. Then it does, and the very next day, he goes, shit, this is bad. I made a statement. In that statement, which again, I'll read to you, he agrees to all this. So when you say only they know, mm-hmm. the women said, and he agreed. So this is corroborated by Louis C.K.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Keep that in mind. It's not she said, he said. She said, she said, she said, she said. In 2003, Abby Schechner called Louis C.K. to invite him to one of the shows. And during the phone conversation, she could hear him masturbating as they spoke. Another comedian, Rebecca Corey, said that while she was appearing with Louis C.K. on a television pilot in 2005, he asked if he could masturbate in front of her. She declined. Now, after years of unsubstantiated rumors about CK masturbating in front of associates, women are coming forward to describe what they experienced. Again, this is about 9 months ago. After being contacted for an interview this week about the on-the-record accusations of sexual misconduct, encounters that took place over a decade ago, Louis C.K.'s publicist said the comedian will not respond. And again, of course, he responded the next day. Yeah. But dude, what do you think the article is going to be about?
Well, also,
you know, add your two cents in now and try to confuse the world more.
Hmm. The people also take issue with the he asked to do it thing. So, like, they consented. That's of course asking is to receive consent, but to ask if you can whip out your dick in a workplace that is not a romantic situation. It's not a situation where they can really give consent because this is not what we're doing here. Like, that's the error. It's not like, I asked if I could masturbate on the train, so everything's good. Like, I asked if I could masturbate in a comedy club. I asked if I could. You don't ask if you can masturbate in public places. What? How old are you?
Also, let's put it in, again, in this perspective of us in the room. Mm-hmm. Let's say it was April 15th, Keith's stand-up comedy. Andrea's opening for Keith. We're all in the back. And Keith just decides to masturbate real quick. But he goes, hey, guys, I'm a headliner. You know, can I just masturbate? This is just what I do. Mm-hmm. And we stand there. Or maybe I'm not there because I have, like, a little more authority. And Andrea is about to open for Keith, and mm-hmm. that's what he did. But he asked. Now, those of you listening to this show and then hearing that story,
you could listen to me the next day normal.
Like, mm-hmm. do you want to defend Keith right now? He just took out his dick in front of Andrea.
Well, his dick is now cut off because... Well, that's... I mean, yeah, it's also the power dynamic is a huge part of it. Like, people... like in Chappelle's special, he called women, I think, fragile spirits, or the masturbation victims, whatever. I don't want to be speaking out of turn.
They were brittle spirits because just because a guy took his dick out, you're going to quit comedy. What if Martin Luther King quit comedy because somebody took their dick out?
Right. And it's like,
you should understand that then. It's
or Martin Luther King quit changing the world.
Anyway. Yeah.
It's like, we shouldn't have to put up with this. It shouldn't be like, you just need to learn to put up with this. Like, he should want women to not have to put up with this. We should be moving forward. I don't understand, like...
How about saying that Louis C.K. is a fragile bitch because he doesn't know how to find a woman who would let him masturbate in front of you? How about you're a fragile bitch because you don't know how to seduce a woman?
Yeah.
You just take off your clothes and start jerking off? Even if I was...
I hate the rewriting of history. That's why I hate that Chappelle said that stupidity mm-hmm. of he asked and you said no, and then you have to quit comedy. I'm like, you read the same fucking article. He's your friend, so you definitely read the same article. Mm-hmm. Why are you changing what happened?
He asked when he was married. Can you imagine that type of position that a producer would be put in? My married boss, who has a higher position of power than me, is also physically larger than me and is a man. We know they run things. He's asking me to masturbate. What do I do? Do I concede to him and then maybe keep my job? Or do I quit because I don't even know where to begin with this? Like, they don't have the perspective of being in that
seat. Of even making that decision that you suddenly are forced to make. Like, I might have sat down and watched Louis C.K. masturbate while throwing up in my mouth, but I would act like everything's cool. I would have done that because I have done that with people less powerful and less affecting, because it is one of the responses. And I think by talking about this, we change our response to it even. You know, like at your age, Andrea, I wouldn't say his dick would be cut off. I would just kind of shut down for a little while and revisit it later. Mm-hmm. Because when we were younger, if we talked about, hey, this guy hit on me, we were looked at like we were fucking assholes. Uh-huh. Like if I said I was in a room alone with this guy and he felt me up, I would not feel any backing for me.
No.
Not anything. Not by women, not by men. I would just, somebody would go, why did you go?
What were you wearing?
It was absolutely, when you, it's so weird how much things changed, because I don't think people recognize how much, like nearly 100% of the time we responded like that. Nearly 100% of the time we said, why were you there? And the thing is when we don't go there, we're prudes, we're not fun. Mm-hmm. And we also, by the way, don't have opportunities, you know, whether it be like sexual opportunities that we actually want to have that, you know, could turn sour and we're afraid, or, you know, work opportunities because it's like, fuck it, just masturbate in front of me. Do I get to keep my job?
I might have a kid that I have to feed, so I need to work this job. Yeah, I can't just quit and riot in the streets. Like, it's such a fucking ridiculous hypothetical. It's like, I do agree that across the board, we should all stand up for ourselves. That's what we're doing now. Oh, I'm sorry, is this Me Too movement too much now? Because it's actually financially affecting your millionaire man life? Fuck off.
And expect a male,
some empathy. Jesus.
Expect a male comedian to say something. You know what I mean? Expect a male comedian to just disagreed publicly with Chappelle, Louis C.K., Norm MacDonald. You're going to do great.
Well, that's the thing. I have a male comedian friend. He's very funny. He's been on this show and he said something to me. He was like, all the young male comedians are in this position right now where none of us wants to stand up to the big daddy, like at the Cellar.
Well, now you know how we feel when someone's dick is out in a hotel room. We don't know what to say.
Yeah.
You don't know what to say and you're not being directly threatened at the moment. You don't know what to say and you could, maybe Louis C.K. will hear you and not hire you in the future. I am in front of his dick right now and I have to make that decision.
Yeah.
So think about the next time you don't want to talk because you might lose your thing. That's why I jerked him off. Do you now understand that? You're afraid to talk. I'm afraid that his dick is out.
Mm-hmm. What's going to happen if his dick is out? Then we do hook up and then something goes weird, or maybe he could fucking kill me. I'm not saying, obviously, that is an extreme situation, but sometimes.
No, it's not.
No, it's not.
And I'll tell you why. When someone's dick comes out, it like randomly.
I don't go, well, this part makes sense.
Right. Yeah. You got to think. Everything now doesn't make sense, and my everything is threatened right now because you are willing to do this.
Yeah, how far will you go?
Yeah, which means anything could happen right now.
Yeah.
Which means your friends can come in right now and take out their dick. You might have an S&M room in the second room. When I tell you, when you think that I'm exaggerating this math casually and very quickly happens with every woman. As soon as something weird happens, our math starts
happening.
Do I get out now? If I get up now, will he get so angry this will get worse?
Yeah.
Can I take him? Do I have my keys on me so I can stab it? All of this is no exaggeration. It has happened to every single person that I know where you have to make some weird fucking decision, but you're telling me that you're afraid to talk on a podcast or on stage where you could work out your shit ahead of time. You're afraid to talk then, but you want me to speak up in every moment of my life all the time?
Mm-hmm. brittle-ass okay. pussies.
All right, you won't even stand up to the security guard at the dog when at the door when he doesn't let you in the club. Mm-hmm. Oh, he's bigger than me. You know how much guys talk about the guy next to them is bigger than them and how much they weigh? And we don't even talk about that. You're a skinny little prissy bitch of a boy mm-hmm. that no man would be afraid of. I'm afraid because mm-hmm. you always have a weapon in your pants. Always. That could fuck me up so hard that, yes, it could ruin my career because my brain gets scrambled at this hero of mine who has his dick out. Your fucking hero. Picture your fucking dad taking out your prick at his prick at dinner mm-hmm. and your mom goes, why don't you say something?
Yeah.
That's your dad. You can fucking talk to your dad. I, you know, he's tried that with me. I said, put it away. You could have just said, put it away. Dad would have put it away. I'm sorry. I'll do better next time because I know there fucking will be a next time.
Yeah.
Right. And the mom's saying, you think I would marry somebody that wouldn't put it away if you just asked?
Right. Yeah. Would I put you in that danger? I don't know. Dad had his dick out. My brain was fucking scrambled.
Yeah. It's also like with Chappelle, it's like it became a race versus gender thing. It's like, this is not a race versus gender thing. This is a human rights thing. We are being treated like second-class citizens constantly. And you... in response to that, call us weak?
And then say that you're afraid. What are you afraid of?
Yeah.
Ms. Corey, a comedian, writer, and actress, has long felt haunted by her run-in with Louis C.K. In 2005, she was working as a performer and producer on a TV pilot. Big step for her, of course. When Louis C.K., a guest star, approached her as she was walking to the set. He leaned close to my face and said, can I ask you something? I said, yes. He asked if he could go to my dressing room so he could masturbate in front of me. I was stunned and angry.
The boss.
I declined. His face got red.
Oh, that's so scary.
Yeah, that's so scary. I can like picture this happening because yeah. I've had sexual advances like this. And when I say no, there's a threat or
so scary.
A change in eyes mm-hmm. that's like, oh, shit. Time to die? Question mark? Over your fucking dumb dick? Continue.
A fifth woman who spoke on condition of anonymity said, in the late 90s, I was working in production on the Chris Rock show when Louis C.K., a writer and producer there, repeatedly asked her to watch him masturbate. She was in her early 20s and went along with his request, but later questioned his behavior. It was something that I knew was wrong, said the woman, who described sitting in his office while he masturbated in his desk chair during a workday, other colleagues just outside the door.
Now I wonder, okay, because this is obviously his thing, mm-hmm. right? And it's his thing when you don't want it. It's very specific. Yes. It's specifically mm-hmm. because you can hire someone and just watch me masturbate
right.
and get the fuck out of here. You know, yeah. No muss, no fuss, no threat, no anything. But it's the threat that does it. There's a little something there. Now, I want you to imagine... this dude, who's like at least 10 years older than her in here, probably mm-hmm, more.
Easily.
So he's jerking off. She's sitting there polite. What are you?
Scene this would be, by the way. Like, what? Can you imagine yeah. being a fly on the wall
That's
for
what I'm
this
saying.
Crazy
like,
shit?
Like, what expression does she have on her face that is keeping you hard? You know, is she politely smiling? Because I think right. I picture myself. That's what I would put on, like, a friendly face.
She's going, I'm coming know? Too.
Right, right, right. You know, we've been that kind of polite.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think the big piece of why I said yes was because of the culture. He abused his power. A coworker at the Chris Rock show, who wished to remain anonymous, also confirmed that the woman told him about the experience soon after it happened. So corroborating. And to be clear, in case you're going to go do one of these stupid things about why would a person be anonymous, as if we didn't already just covered that, Louis C.K. agreed that all of this happened. So I hope there's no debate there. Ms. Schneider, a writer, illustrator, and performer, admired Louis C.K.'s work. They had met in a comedy scene. Her former boyfriend was a comedy writer who had worked with Louis C.K. In 2003, when she called Louis C.K. with an invitation to her show, he said he was at work in an office as a writer on the series Cedric the Entertainer Presents. She said she heard the blinds coming down.
Oh, God.
Then he slowly started telling her sexual fantasies, breathing heavily and talking softly. She realized he was masturbating. She's dumbfounded. Call goes on for several minutes. She says, I definitely wasn't encouraging it. You just want to believe it's not happening.
I want any man who said has an opinion about whether like how you should react in a sexual situation right. like that to have to go through it. Mm. And this is me just being angry. I'm not like, oh, rape begets more rape, but the fucking confidence to be like, I would have done. I'm like, that's it. You're going in a room with a big, fat, redheaded weirdo, and he's going to jerk off in front of you and stare in your eyes.
Yeah, but
then
we're not,
you can tell your big, big, manly opinion on it.
But we're not going to schedule it.
No.
It's just going
to
happen. Right.
When you're yeah. trying to do your fucking incredibly stressful job that you've already worked so hard. You know how hard it is for women to make it in this fucking industry? It's getting better now, but Jesus Christ, it used to be difficult. So that it's double. Think of the work that men had to do in this industry and then double it. And that's the women that had to work that hard to get there. And now their career is being jeopardized because this guy wants to jerk off.
And he wants you to feel that way.
And he's the underdog.
Right.
Lol.
His comeback. Yeah, he comes on your back. So Louis C.K. jerks off on his stomach with those two girls in the Aspen Hotel. They leave. And he yells after them, hey, which one of you is Dana and which one's Julia? What's that?
Like that was just normal. It's weird.
Hey, by the way, what are your names? Hoping the outrage would build against Louis C.K. and also to shame him, those two Aspen ladies began telling others about the incident the next day, but many people seemed to recoil. Guys were backing away from us. We could already feel a backlash. And of course, you've heard those stories. And then that's when he tried to put out that Woody Allen type movie. Yeah. This weirdo.
Yeah, that one. It's like, after you put that one out, it's like, okay, are you guys still on his side?
You know what's funny, and maybe this isn't completely related, but what's interesting, and I think, Keith, that you felt this during Rescue 911, but tell me if I'm mistaken. Mm-hmm. There's a new Will Arnett show where, like, and this is what made me realize he's BoJack because I heard the name. And he's, like, either executive producing it or, like, there's a lot of him in the front titles, you know? Okay. And I'm like, yeah, this feels like you put it together. You're making out with this hot chick. Like, they're always making out with young, hot chicks.
Oh, yeah, all of Woody Allen's movies up until this point.
But it feels like they write around, you know, making out with chick. You know, it feels like, oh, and in this next scene, I date this hot girl and we make out. And it's like, I get it that could be the plot line, but somehow it's always about, it feels like you made this show because of who you get to touch.
Yeah, it's like they're playing fantasy football, but with a woman they want to jerk off on.
Yeah, and it's, you know, this, I almost have like no right to say that because why would I name Will Arnett in that? You know, it just had like a semi vibe, and he's not even making out with a lot of women, but it's like, oh, you're a 40-something in this show and in life, and she's a 20-something in this show in real life. And it's like,
just
okay.
Why is that plot line a constant thing? Constant. Why is it always like, he's an old fucked up dude, and she's an incredibly hot 22-year-old that
motivated.
Doesn't know what's going on. It turns out they love each other, despite having zero shared experiences. Or
okay. You remember the name of that movie of his, Louis C.K.'s? I Love You, Daddy.
Yeah, barf.
In the film about a television writer whose teenage daughter is wooed by a Woody Allen type, one character aggressively mimics masturbating in front of others. Given the rumors surrounding Louis C.K., the movie plays like a moral inventory, blah, 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 blah. At an interview in Times Square in September, at the Toronto Film Festival, somebody says to him, hey, what about these rumors about you and masturbating? And this is happening in the movie. And Louis says, who again? One of the smartest writers, knows how to put down thoughts, says, it's funny, I didn't even think of that. If there was a talk show host in a movie I made.
Yeah.
If there was a spanking scene in the movie I made, I would expect people to focus on the spanking scene. Yeah. Hey, do you like to be spanked? You know?
Just, I didn't even, it's
how did
just
you even come up with
it's
that?
It's just a movie.
I'm just telling jokes and it's just a movie.
Right. My God. In 2009, 6 years after one of these jerk-off phone calls, the woman says, last time I talked to you, Louis C.K. calls this woman back that he jerks off to over the phone. Last time I talked to you, it ended in a sordid fashion. That was a bad time in my life, and I'm sorry. This is 6 years after that phone call, He added that he had seen some of her comedy and thought she was funny. I remember thinking, what a repulsive person I was being by responding the way that I did. He wrote. Okay, are you following that?
Was so all he over the apologized place? To her.
He apologized saying, I remember thinking what a repulsive person I must have been.
Okay.
She accepted his apology and told him that she forgave him. But the original interaction left her deeply dispirited, she said, and one of the things that discouraged her from pursuing comedy. Mm-hmm. In 2015, a few months before the now-defunct website Defamer circulated rumors about Louis C.K.'s sexual misconduct, Ms. Corey also received an email. This is very interesting. Again, Louis C.K. says everything written in here is true. This woman, Ms. Corey, received an email from Louis C.K., which was obtained by the Times, saying he owed her a, quote, very, very, very late apology. When he phoned
her... is this the same woman?
This is another woman. So he's on a kick of giving out apologies now.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay, even though he'll deny in public.
Okay.
When he phoned her, he said he was sorry for shoving her in a bathroom. Ms. Corey replied that he had never done that, but had instead asked to masturbate in front of her. Responding in a shaky voice, he acknowledged it and said, I used to misread people back then. He made up.
He was getting confused.
He got confused what he did to another woman. So there's another story out there where he shoved a woman in a bathroom.
Yeah. The misreading is bizarre.
Because honestly, when he says stuff like that, and this is how my brain works. And
he has a good memory because your job is to go joke by joke. You know, I see these comics on late shows that honing their craft. You see when they figured the bit out and they have every word down, and then you see it again and again. And then they go to a talk show and they try to sneak it in, but the words are exactly the same. So don't tell me Louis C.K. has a bad memory.
No. Well, the misread is him injecting this sort of like
victim.
Victim. This was maybe a romantic situation that it didn't play correctly, but it's like that is the problem here, is these were not romantic situations.
But it's right away, it works on my brain.
Me too.
Right away, and I feel it. I'm always followed by fuck. Like, you know,
was he actually just, were they maybe hooking up and he took it too far? No, it's in the office. Like, that's the, right. Yeah, right. It's very hard.
The call confused her. Ms. Corey said, not only had he misremembered the incident, which made me think there were other moments of misconduct, he also implied she had done something to incite his behavior. It is unfair he's put me or anyone else in this position. And then the other people talking about how nobody listens to them when they talk. This is Louis C.K.'s non-apology. Ready? In case you forget. I went to address the stories told to the New York Times by five women named Abby, Rebecca, Dana, Julia, who felt able to name themselves and one who did not.
And this is 9 months ago, right?
This is about 9 months ago, correct. Mm-hmm. These stories are true. At the time, I said to myself that what I did was okay because I never showed a woman my dick without asking first. Now, he's going to ignore that bathroom thing. That is the big kicker to me. Mm-hmm. I never showed a woman my dick without asking first. You already acknowledged the stories are true. The very first story I read, the women didn't say yes. Mm-hmm. They just laughed it off. And you took your dick out anyway. Which is always true.
It's almost as if he asks like so quickly, like, I can say it real quickly. And then you react in some way. And so I did it. Like, it's like he's saying, like, I put in my penance in the beginning and I was going to do it anyways. But this is my get out of jail free card that I asked, quote unquote.
And that's at best.
Yeah.
But what I learned later in life, too late, is that when you have power over another person, poor me, I don't know what power is. I never was a kid. I never had a job. I didn't know what power was. Mm-hmm. Asking them to look at your dick isn't a question. Can you imagine being an adult and you got to write, hey, listen to what I learned.
He gets me on that too. Mm-hmm. It's a really good apology because I have to concentrate so hard in order to keep people in a shitty frame in my mind.
Yeah.
And I'm only saying that because I don't know if that's just me, because I want to believe the good in people and I want to believe that he had a hard time and I want to believe that he's thought about it and understood his way, and I have to remember he just took out his dick.
Yeah, like, well, he's incredibly smart and gifted at stand-up comedy, and you want to like him because you like what he does. So,
but I want to like humans. It really, this is not even about his comedy, although, like, I like him, but anyone who says these words, it triggers compassion in me. Mm-hmm. It really just does.
Let's snuff that out.
I'm trying.
It's a predicament for them. The power I had over these women is that they admired me. And
Good
I wielded
use of the
that
word right. Predicament.
And I wielded that power irresponsibly. I have been remorseful of my actions and I've tried to learn from them and run away from them. I've heard him in interviews where people brought it up and he denied this. Now I'm aware of the extent of the impact of my actions. I learned yesterday the extent to which I left these women who admired me feeling badly about themselves and cautious around other men who would never have put them in that position.
Feeling badly about you, motherfucker, not themselves.
I also took advantage of the fact that I was widely admired in my and their community, which disabled them from sharing their story and brought hardship to them when they tried because people who look up to me didn't want to hear it.
Didn't he get his management to, like, silence these women and also deny them opportunity? The first two, yeah. So it's not that people were not listening. He was actively shutting them down and destroying their careers.
I didn't think that I was doing any of that because my position allowed me not to think about it. There is nothing about this that I forgive myself for, and I have to reconcile it with who I am, which is nothing compared to the task I left them with. I wish I had reacted to their admiration of me by being a good example to them as a man and given them some guidance as a comedian.
Including that's a lot of admiration of them.
Including because I admired their work. The hardest regret to live with is that you've done is what you've done to hurt somebody else. And I can hardly wrap my head around the scope of hurt I brought on them. I'd be remiss to exclude the hurt that I've brought on people who I work with and have worked with whose professional and personal lives have been impacted by all of this, including projects currently in production, the cast and crew of Better Things, Baskets, The Cops, One Mississippi, and I Love You, Daddy.
What are all those things?
My credits.
Things that he was producing at the time.
I deeply regret that this has brought negative attention to my manager, Dave Becky, who only tried to mediate a situation that I caused. That's what Andrea's alluding to. Mm-hmm. I brought anguish and hardship to the people of FX, who have given me so much. The Orchard, who took a chance on my movie. And every other entity that has been with me through the 3 years. The six times I sold out Madison Square Garden. I brought pain to my family, my friends, my children, and their mother. I've spent my long and lucky career talking and saying anything I want. I will now step back and take a long time to listen. Thank you for reading.
Not even a calendar year to step back.
Yeah, let me tell you what's been going on during that time. Yeah, I'm reading tweets right now that came to one of the women we talked about, Rebecca Corey. Billy Boy at I Came for Blood writes her on Twitter, "You piece of shit, no talent, vindictive cunt. Hope you're enjoying your 15 minutes of fame." Yes, she loved it.
Mm-hmm.
"Hope you're enjoying your 15 minutes of fame because in 2 months, you'll go back to being just another unfunny female comedian. All he did was ask if he could jerk off in front of you, and you're making him out to be this evil monster, you fucking scumbag." If this is some movement that is coming and hopefully going away, I hope it goes further. And you look into a guy that would rate something like this. All he did was jerk. I hope they look into you, Billy Boy.
Yeah.
Ben Pillar at Ben Pillar 1 says, "Most importantly, you're an egotistical opportunist who didn't get her show, so she retaliated with tattletaling. Furthermore, if anything were to make me happy, it's to see your career flushed down the drain." That's what these women are dealing with. You're making sure Louis's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Because, by the way, what do all these people have in common? Dudes. Ken Adams at Adams Flange. "The real problem is people like you who kept silent as Louis C.K. harassed you, and you said nothing because of fear it might hurt your career. You are the problem. You are complicit in the sexual harassment that happened to every woman after you because you did nothing."
Oh my God, that one's so fucking harsh.
Yeah. "I'm going to masturbate in front of all these guys at their McDonald's drive-through jobs that they have."
"Some have said," says this woman, Rebecca Corey, "some have said, he just asked you to jerk off in front of you. What's the big deal? And I can't count how many times people have told me, well, he did say sorry, but he didn't. Admitting what you did and justifying it with, I always asked first, is not the same as apologizing. The comedians who choose to shame and attack are the most disappointing of all. Dave Chappelle, a self-proclaimed feminist, used his Netflix special as an opportunity to single out one of the CK accusers, saying she has, quote, brittle ass spirit. His rambling bit filled with ignorance and vitriol isn't comedy," which is funny. We talk about Nanette, right?
Mm-hmm.
"It's just another example of a comedy giant misusing his power and platform to hurt someone. I heard another high-profile comedian on a podcast," which is interesting, that she's almost doing the guy a favor.
Mm-hmm.
She won't bring up this other comedian. "I heard another high-profile comedian on a podcast say he believes what CK did is no different than what Letterman did," referring to Letterman's consensual relationship with an intern.
Consensual.
Relationship
but also
with an intern.
Intern.
You're 60 and you're with a 20-year-old and you believe that
also,
two years off of being adult, she could make that.
Also, when Letterman said his apology on air, All he said was, it's true, I had sex with people that worked for me. Plural people, people that worked for you. Mm-hmm. So why would this person talking to you even make it be one person consensual? Do you see what I mean? Mm-hmm. To see certain outspoken late-night talk show hosts relentlessly go after Weinstein, Trump, and other for their misconduct and avoid mentioning CK's name is just weird. I wonder if he did what he did to their wives, sisters, mothers, or daughters, would it still be not worth mentioning? And that is what guys need to understand, it seems. You know, you need...
Where do they think women come from?
Yeah. Right.
Where?
Well, there's the slut island where these women come from. And then there's the mothers and daughters island. And we need to keep them safe. But the whores will stay on whore island. Right. And we'll just masturbate in front of them. And
it's also been heartbreaking to see people I liked and respected lie and defend him. Two close friends I trusted and confided in for years who were at the taping when it happened. Refused to corroborate what happened to me in the New York Times using their names. Other friends simply stopped communicating with me. These are the same people I had seen on social media, proudly wearing pussy hats and Time's Up pins at the Women's March. Speaking out feels like standing in front of the world naked under fluorescent lights on a really bad day. I knew making myself so vulnerable would bring scrutiny from the outside, but my personal life has been damaged by my decision to tell the truth. Don't ever ask why the women chose to wait to speak if they spoke at all.
Yeah.
Roxane Gay wrote this for the New York Times. The victims have been disbelieved. They have had to withstand accusations that they are seeking attention. Justice has been grandly elusive. This is in regards to coming back to stand up the other day. The public discourse has been more about whether the Me Too movement has gone too far than it has been about reckoning with the alarming prevalence of sexual predation in every circumstance imaginable.
Yeah, your rape has gone too far.
In November 2017, the comedian Louis C.K. admitted to exposing his penis and masturbating in front of women without their consent, then disappearing from public eye until this month. On Sunday night, he returned to the stage at the Comedy Cellar in New York. Apparently, he found a new way of forcing himself on an unsuspecting audience. I believe this 2,000% because you're not leaving it up to the viewer. Mm-hmm. I'm at a comedy show and surprise, Louis C.K. comes on stage. Mm-hmm. I have to decide, what do I want to do now? Mm-hmm. Do I get up and leave? Now, I go to movies, and I've gone to movies with multiple people. Mm-hmm. Do you know it's a to-do to say, no, I want to stay for the credits? Do you know the confusion that goes on there? Mm-hmm. When I go, no, I just got to leave for now and not support, and then they have to make a decision. It's a mess.
It's also a spectacle. It's also like, what is he going to say? It would be very hard to leave that room. What if he's going to admit? Like, it's very salacious.
He appeared for about 15 minutes and received a standing ovation a mere 9 months after
That's
the confirmation
so fucking-
of his disgrace would be a standing ovation. Other disgraced, once powerful men also appear to be plotting their comebacks. Matt Lauer told People he's going to re-enter the public sphere. Stories have circulated about comebacks for Charlie Rose and Mario Batali. In each instance, it's been less than a year since the allegations against these men surfaced. And in each instance, the men have done little in the way of public contrition. We have 6,000 channels on our TV. There's a way to sit down and talk.
Give money to rape victims.
When they have apologized, they have done so with carefully worded, legally vetted statements. They have deflected responsibility. They have demonstrated that they don't really think they've done anything wrong. And worse, people have asked for the Me Too movement to provide a path to redemption for these men, as if it is primarily the responsibility of the victimized to help their victimizers find redemption.
So after I had trouble with that. I know I was like riding that wave for a little because it's because the whole... sexual assault thing is so difficult because we don't know where to put these people, because we don't know how to make them better, because we just started admitting that it's even happening.
And our system created them in a lot of ways. The way that we live our life and the sexual dynamics between men and women have widely been accepted to be like this for a very long time.
So because of that, I worry about what is the future? Like, how do we make this better? But what I realized is too soon. It's just too soon. And it's not up to me or any of his victims or this side of it to help make it better. We illuminated the situation. You, like we do, have a choice to go find the help that you need.
Well, it's also like the burden.
it shouldn't be a burden on women. People feel like women are so angry right now, and they feel like this is such an overreaction. This is so huge. I'm like, this is not, this is just finally people are listening. So it seems huge to you, but it's been huge. We've been angry for so long. Generations of women have just been like, shut the fuck down. Finally, we get to talk. It seems like this is massive to you. If this is such a massive reaction, then you got to be like, what has it been like for you guys that you are coming out in droves?
Yeah, like, we're not all on our period all of a sudden.
Right. Uh-huh. If this Me Too movement lasted 1 month, I'd be like, oh, okay, I see what happened. Everybody had their periods at different times.
God.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, and what is this great movement, Women Got Their Way? How many people in public were there? Six.
Yeah.
This huge movement, you know what I mean? Well, I can name them.
It's also like...
That's true, actually.
Charlie Rose, the big fatso in the movies, the new guy from CBS, Les Moonves. He's brand new is what I mean. Louis C.K., if you want to throw Chris Hardwick in there just to add to the numbers, let's do that.
But even if it's 100 men.
But it's not.
But
yeah.
But it's not. But yeah, even if it was 100. You know, but it's interesting. It's not. It's not a dozen.
Yeah. Well.
Should a man pay for his misdeeds for the rest of his life? This is always the question raised when we talk about justice in the case of harassment and rape allegations. The guy from House of Cards. Should a man pay
Kevin
for his...
Kevin Spacey. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you. This is always the question raised when we talk about justice in the case of harassment and rape allegations against public figures. How long should a man who has faced no legal and few financial consequences for such actions pay the price? Exactly. Well, why is the first thing you go to... how long does he have to pay for it?
Well, it's also like this whole... Everyone's all... Why didn't you go to the police? All of a sudden, the legal system is so fucking great. All of a sudden, everyone's such a fan of the legal system.
Right.
And I'm like, you fucking know. You don't believe that for a second that
I got
we go
robbed
to the great legal system.
Yeah. I didn't go to the legal system when I got robbed because I'm just like, what? You're going to harass me now.
Cops kill black people.
Right.
No, thanks.
Right. Nobody wrote to Hendon and be like, Kenda, the system is there to catch these robbers.
Right. Yeah.
Not one email, right?
Right, because that's the acceptable area in which we think the legal system is bullshit. Yeah. But in if you say that it's that we have nowhere to go, then where are we going to go? We're going to go to the internet and we're going to destroy your reputation. One, because it's the truth and you deserve to be called out for what you're doing. And our systems don't allow us to do this anymore. So what do we do? What would you like us to do?
So Louis C.K. makes the unannounced appearance at the Comedy Cellar on Sunday night, which is interesting if you're a comic and you're like, are you allowed to bump me?
Yeah.
You know. The owner, Noam Dorman, who's been on this show, he wasn't around at the time, supposedly. And I believe that when I say supposedly. It was around 11 p.m. The owner of the Cellar, the Greenwich Village Comedy Club, says in this interview that I got a phone call that after the fact. But he seems fine with that. He said that he heard about the 15-minute set and it touched on, quote, typical Louis C.K. stuff, racism, waitresses, tips, parades.
My prick.
That's what I want to hear.
Parades.
I want to hear about parades and waitresses tips while I'm debating, should I be in this room?
Yeah, well, that's another thing. I'm like, if you're going to do it, if you have the balls to do it, then fucking do it, you pussy. Right.
Yeah, say what you learned in 9 months.
Yeah, fuck off. Here's my observational humor.
I took my kids to a parade.
Let's see. There happened to be 115 people there that night, so it was a packed crowd. He wished he had known in advance, as one of the audience members, so he could decide whether or not to be there. But overall, Mr. Dorman says, I've received many letters from patrons and emails saying that they're happy they caught this show. What balls. What balls of Louis C.K.? I'm ready now.
Yeah.
I'm just going to come in. You know, did he even bother to call the owner? Who knows? Right?
Yeah, he's got a pass.
So
there.
I'm gonna choose to believe that Noam Dorman, the owner of the Comedy Cellar, is telling the truth, saying he didn't even get a phone call. And Louis said, it's pretty understood. I get to go up when I want, where I want. And I'm going to come here now.
Yeah, that's putting the Cellar in a bad position because...
And then I'm the guy, you know, I was put in charge of hosting that night and I went, yeah, I didn't think it was right to have Louis C.K. out.
The thing is part of the reason why The Comedy Cellar is so huge is because it was in his opening credits for his very popular show, Louis.
Right.
And so I know, you know, that Noam must feel like you partially helped make this, you know? Right. How do you, I don't know.
Yeah. Mr. Dorman said that as a business owner, he's in a difficult position. I understand that some people will be upset with me. I care about my customers very much. Every complaint goes through me like a knife, and I care about doing the right thing. Then added, there can't be a permanent life sentence on someone who does something wrong. The social standards about how to respond to errant behavior are inconsistent, he said, and now shifting ever faster, and audiences should have the leeway to describe what to watch themselves. Exactly. I wouldn't have had the leeway to decide. Or I would have made a scene with my friends. Or I would have made a scene. Just let's not make up who we're talking about. Let's just say me, Keith Malley. Now I get up and it's a thing.
You know you would have stayed though. You're not getting up.
This is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So now I'm the number that supported Louis C.K. talking about waitresses' tips.
Right.
Fuck you for making me do that.
If I was there, I'd be like, Keith will kill me if I leave this room right now. But also, I'm so fucking curious.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want to know, this is his first appearance. Yeah. I want to know if he is going to say something about it. Maybe in 9 months, you put together 5 minutes of material that really, I don't know. I believe in change. I believe in like illuminating, you know, and moving forward. And I believe that somebody like Louis C.K. with his talent, his very specific talent, could do 5 minutes on something. I'm not saying he can change the world with his 5 minutes. I'm saying that he could, quote, come back with actual shit that we want to hear about what this timeout
is. Yeah, show that you're paying your penance. Like it's
something.
Yeah, show something. Anything. I don't just understand something. I just showed up and everyone wasn't excited about it. What do I have to do? You'd think about what you would have to do.
I would think about my first words and it wouldn't be parades.
You just strolled on stage as if you didn't tell everybody you masturbated to women.
Yeah. That's gotta be, I mean, I'm wondering what his, not to like.
To women, at women. How about that?
Yeah. I'm trying to think about what his brain was like before that. Not even like.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Like, I bet you he was whistling and took two bites of a pizza around the corner.
Yeah. Walked up the stairs, jerked in front of a couple people.
Yeah. Also, you start with compensation of some kind. You don't just go, hey guys, we good?
Yeah. I make so much money. Let me give money back to some of the foundations. Let me hire.
Like if it's all a trick, then trick.
Yeah.
Yeah. Again, why are we deciding how to make it better? We're always deciding like what avenue, you know, it's. Go to your own meetings. Go to your own psychiatrist. Like, I have to worry about the demons that I inherited or developed, you know? Like, let me see you. Let me hear you that you've worked out some of it.
That's all him is saying. Admit why what you did was wrong. Mm-hmm. That's all these apologies are always missing.
Yeah.
What did you learn?
Yeah.
You didn't learn a fucking thing. How long does it take? I don't know. How long was he ruining lives? More than 9 months. I gave you a couple years there.
Yeah.
Jen Kirkman wrote, a problem even bigger to me than Louis C.K. was Dave Chappelle's open mic on Netflix where he called the victims.
Did she say that?
Yeah, and had brittle spirits. These guys have changed culture, influenced millions of men. Those men now walk among us women, and many continue to harass us online and in real life.
I'm in love with her.
Ray Sani says, I've tried to do jokes about being sexually assaulted. My second rape is actually really funny, I swear. But audiences never want to hear them.
No.
This is interesting. Mm-hmm. They get so tight if you talk about a thing that happened to you that you're laughing through, but will listen to the men doing the assaulting.
Huh. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
This is also why CK shit is so maddening. I can't even mention or try to work through it, but he's made a career joking about how sick a dude he is.
Fucking Ray Sani, can we just...
Yeah.
God, she's in LA and I miss her so much sometimes. Look up Ray Sani, R-A-E.
I mean, I can't even... I make jokes about struggling with alcoholism and people tighten up with me. Like, they're like, oh my God, this out of control woman from Slut and Booze Island. It's like... I think it's funny. I'm okay. The sexism that we face, even just stepping on that stage, we already have to work back from a different place that you have to work back from, men. That's always like, what does she look like? You're judging my clothes. Is she going to be funny because she's a woman?
Who let her out of Rape Island?
Yeah, we're running with weights.
Ray says, and then we found out he really does that shit and people still want him to come back. And even liberal LA crowds are tight about me joking about a 10-year-old, really funny, I promise, rape that happened to me.
Yeah.
Allison Klemp, you know her. Can we stop saying Louis served his time like he went to jail or something? He just stopped tweeting for as long as pregnant women have to stop drinking booze. Yeah. Briss Farley writes, can you imagine the bank you're working at hiring back the guy who jerked off in front of women without their consent because it had been like a year or something?
Yeah.
That one's really good.
Yeah. Well, I think.
Why didn't I think like that? You know?
Well, because we don't think of the comedy, the life and the like the places that comedians go as offices. And I think that's a major part of it. Like I was saying, it's like a hotel room is still an office to me if you are my coworker.
Right.
Like, even though this is a room that could people could be fucking in or we could be friends and hanging out, me hanging out with other comedians, I am still working right now. I'm not.
Right, like, we shared space in LA with you. That's like sharing a hotel with you.
Mm-hmm.
And if we just decided to masturbate, that puts you fucking in a fucking crazy place.
Yeah,
but it
why
was
would
our
Andrea
office.
Go from the bathroom to her bedroom in a towel?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, she sexual harasses us.
What are we talking about? No, but how was I able to control it's myself, men? She should be insulted.
It's reparations.
Right. You know, this upset me. Rob Schneider, the goofy comedian, Adam Sandler's buddy. Okay, so it starts with this woman, Gail Simone, and she tweets out innocuously, Tim Hortons is the Rob Schneider of donut shops.
Mm.
Yeah, I think I get it. I guess I don't get it. I don't know. A little simple, corny maybe, nice enough.
Some people enjoy it more than
some people enjoy it more than okay.
Mm-hmm. What kind of weird reference is Rob Schneider nowadays?
Gail had to take a shit and it was playing on the TV in the next room. I'm not saying Gail needs an Emmy for what's going on. I'm just saying, okay, this joke goes out.
Okay.
Rob Schneider finds it because he's searching his name. He's not even added at, right?
And really?
He's not hashtagged either.
Not hashtagged or added.
Baby bitch.
I've never heard of this woman, but she seems to have a particular problem with me. Dear fans, please feel free to tell her how you feel. Now, if that's not a little violent, I don't know.
Yeah.
I wrote, I'm at her house. What should I do now, buddy? Say the word. And then he took down the tweet.
Whoa.
Oh, Keith Malley.
But what are you doing?
Yeah.
It's also, you're a huge famous star. What is wrong with you?
Why is that even affecting
you?
Yeah.
Go live in your rich, wonderful life where you get to do whatever you want.
Right. Adam calls you every time he wants to go on a trip to Hawaii and like, hey, you know what? Bring the camera so that we can get paid.
Mm-hmm.
Here, let me shit out another script. It would be different if he retweeted and said like, hey, look what this woman is saying to me, but it's
if you even
the call to action.
I wouldn't even retweet, huh? You're just okay. I'm in her head because I'm famous,
right?
Okay, who cares?
Yeah,
this woman has a major problem with me.
Isn't that part of being famous? People that you don't know knowing you, isn't that what you want?
And guys, take care of her.
That's weird.
That's what's upsetting about it. This Ronan Farrow, by the way, he's put out the Les Moonves article recently. Mm-hmm. Before that, Harvey Weinstein, I believe, right? Tell me Woody Allen didn't do something that got this guy riled up. This guy should win a Kennedy Center honor, you know, before he does a story on what Kennedy was up to.
Mm-hmm.
But what a hero, if you ask me. So now I'm looking at these things that Les Moonves, the president of CBS, has been doing, forcing women to blow disgusting stuff.
Wait, old white guy, you say?
Right.
Okay. Just be clear.
What are we up to? Probably a dozen women now accusing Moonves of sexual harassment. And like all these stories, they're all the same, right? All the Louis C.K. stories are the same. Of course, you can't deny it. They're all the same, you liar.
Yeah, that's so consistent.
Harvey Weinstein, all the stories were the same. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you Les Moonves' MO.
What's interesting about the similarity thing is I did an interview with someone who was sexually assaulted by someone who I dated, and he gaslit us in the same way. Like, it's funny, even the sexual assaults are always the same, and also the behaviors around them
are all the same.
And you're just like, gaw. Like, it's just fucking shocking.
Additional women now accusing Moonves of sexual harassment or assault incidences that took place in the 1980s up to the early 2000s. They include Moonves forcing them to perform oral sex on him, that he exposed himself to them without their consent. Then he used physical violence and intimidation against them.
Yeah, see, all of this is very specific because these powerful, very rich guys, again, they not only can hire people, they can easily convince people to consensually do that with them. You know, you can get a blowjob as a high-powered and...
Oh, my God. You can get someone killed and you'll be fine.
Yeah, but
have
you can...
Have you watched The Jinx, the movie about that Manhattan mogul that killed like three people before he went to... there? This is a lawless world for them, usually. But yeah, that amount of money,
but
yes.
You can get it as a nice person, though. Like, you can get it by being like, hey, you're attractive.
Yeah,
are
but
you
they
interested?
Don't want that.
No, that's the right. thing. That's the pattern.
Yeah.
Is the lack of consent. That's it feels like that's what they're looking
it's
for.
It's misogyny. I can do whatever I want to you because
but
you
I need
are
to
less
know,
than I am.
I need to know that you don't like it seems to be a theme.
Yeah.
Like that's part of the compulsion.
Yeah, he
is
was
that,
in the early 2000s when he was doing some of this stuff still. He was with Julie Chen. For what it's worth, she's on the talks. It's an attractive woman. He could be having good sex. Mm-hmm. He'd rather not. He'd rather yeah. you didn't want it.
That's mm-hmm. the thing. That is what skeeves me out the most is the psychosis is you hate this and that makes me want it.
Yeah.
Or I'm so powerful and you can't stop it.
A veteran television... Oh, of course. All
same,
these,
same, right?
Yeah. A veteran television executive named Phyllis Golden Gottlieb said, this is a Ronan Farrow article in The New Yorker, told me that she filed a criminal complaint late last year. Now, this is different than Louis in that he's denying everything. Filed a criminal complaint late last year with the LA police, accusing Moonves of physically restraining her and forcing her to perform oral sex on him and of exposing himself to her and violently throwing her against the wall in later incidents.
Fuck.
Is this the same guy that had the fuck you button on his iPad who's so old?
No, that's Sumner Redstone.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Jessica Pallingston, a writer and temporary assistant, said that after she repelled one of his sexual advances, he called her a cunt and told her to get out of the office. Moonves acknowledged three encounters, but said that they were all consensual. So he's like, you're giving me a bunch of stories. Three of them were consensual. Okay. Great point. He says, the appalling accusation in this article are untrue. What is true is that I had consensual relations with three of the women out of a dozen. Some 25 years ago before I came to CBS, and I have never used my position to hinder the advancement or careers of women. In my 40 years of work, I have never before heard of such disturbing accusations. I can only surmise they were surfacing now for the first time, decades later, as part of a concerted effort by others to destroy my name, my reputation, and my career. Anyone who knows me knows that the person described in this article are not me.
Your reputation.
And then, of course, more people come out, you know?
Jeez.
When Golden Gottlieb began to ask if he was having trouble finding... Oh, so later on, you know, so these people, they still... They're nervous about leaving. They know, mm-hmm. okay, I leave this guy, the president of CBS, where am I going to go? Because mm-hmm. He will not allow me to work anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say you're a decent person at NBC and, you know, you're being blacklisted.
Mm-hmm.
You go, I'll tell you what, even if she tells this guy the truth, NBC, hey, this is what happened. I got to work for you. So you can either hire her or another producer who definitely has no baggage.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What do you want to do?
Yeah. And also, you can leave that network, but you kind of in the back of your head, this is what I always think, the next network is run by the same kind of guy.
Yeah.
It's,
right.
What's my
button on the door situation? Yeah, fuck off.
And I have to start over and I have to explain, like Keith was saying, why did you leave that last one? Do I tell you the truth? And then you know that I'm a whistleblower of sorts, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's story after story, assume, where he just grabs a woman, tongue down the throat,
ugh,
forcefully takes their head down to his dick.
Oh, God, that's
so much confidence that I won't bite your dick. That's a lot of confidence.
Yeah.
It's a very domineering thing that you can force me to blow you and then I do. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Again, if you want to read the whole story.
What if you just choke and bite the dick by accident? You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Like, it's not like I always have control and now you're giving me less control.
Yeah.
Again, the whole story, I just, you know, just assume it's woman after woman, all the same stories. It's in The New Yorker by the great Ronan Farrow. But a doctor, he's in a doctor's office, makes the woman blow him.
Hit the balls.
Yeah.
Just what else can I get away? What else?
Yeah.
This feels so good.
It's such a compulsion. This is such a compulsive.
And it gets worse because
crazy.
Just like any other drug, like you need more.
You
got
to up the ante. Yeah. It's got to be a bigger. Yeah.
By the way, people are writing in. I can't really read all this and keep the conversation.
Shut up, whores.
But A from NYC. At my last job, my employee began sexually harassing me and at one point accused, exposed himself when I entered his office. Even though I lobbied to have him fired, I never mentioned that incident specifically. I guess because of shame. It was so embarrassing and awkward to me, and I just didn't talk about it at the workplace where I had no interest in being being seen in the context of sexuality. It was odd and inappropriate, and I just wanted it to end. Eventually, my request to my supervisors was granted, and he was fired. And then the next day, I was too. Lesson learned.
Yeah.
So they fired her.
This is not an uncommon story. This story, versions of it are so common.
Yeah, because now it's like on his way out, he'll probably be like, well, you know, she fucked up.
Yeah.
So now they have to take his accusation seriously too. Mm-hmm. And even if they believe her, they have to fire her.
Yeah, well, that's when the burden of proof point keeps getting brought up. It's like, well, how do I prove it? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like what, say it happens in an office where there's no cameras, then and then do I go to the fake legal system that historically has never
HR like, that really is working for the company also?
Where I'm in a corner where I can take no actions except for to publicly come out and that's too much?
Right. And then you publicly come out. That means that more places, you know, are hesitant to hire you.
You're fucked.
Our dog is bringing up Chris Hardwick. The people that quit cited the fact that the girlfriend that accused Chris Hardwick wasn't part of the investigation that AMC did. Why talk to her?
Yeah.
Okay. Who'd you ask? Now, something's going on. As soon as that story about Chris Hardwick came out, all on my social media was people that wrote and produced and worked for Chris Hardwick saying, finally, we can admit he's a piece of shit. Why? Yeah. Because they found him corny. They didn't like his sense of humor. Something happened.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's hard enough to get that kind of job, to talk shit about your boss like that.
Yeah.
And that's your boss, which means everyone that he's friends with
is on his side.
Is your boss also from now on.
Right.
You know, who's hiring you? One of his friends.
Right. So here's what you do. Don't go, well, what is the rules? When could the people come back?
Fucking behave. Then you'll never have a problem.
Right. There you
How go. About that? What a simple fucking solution. You know who never, like the men that I, and it's like people make comments that I'm a man hater or whatever. You shouldn't like these men either. They're making you look horrible. These men are rapists. They're sexual assaulters. They're bad people. They're liars. They treat women like shit. You should be like, oh, good. They'll be exposed. They'll be out of power. Then men who behave themselves can work alongside women like actual equals. What is it about wanting to redeem these fucking pieces of garbage?
And what happened to men being men where you like to pretend you live in the world where you're the cowboy, and if you even looked at a poor dame wrong, you would take care of business. Where's your chance? Yeah, but when can he come back? It's been 9 months without a Louis joke.
Yeah, and I want the joke, and it was false.
He has a lot of albums. It's You're going to be okay.
It's like, oh, Louis, bro, I'm with you. Louis C.K. doesn't give a fuck about you, open mic loser. You fucking loser. He does not give a shit. No one gives a shit about you. Right. You're nobody. The only thing you're telling me when you give your fucking dumbass opinion is that I'm never booking you for anything and that you're not my friend. And that's it. And that's my prerogative. So smart, I guess. I don't know. You know what I mean?
Right.
Fuck off.
Anyway, watch our YouTube channel. We're going to talk about movie trailers.
I'm going to whip out my pussy in front of you guys and act like I would ever have a job if I did that. By the way, women can't breastfeed in the office. But you can literally masturbate, and we have to be like, well, did he get a lot of mean Twitter things?
That's actually the greatest point ever.
Yeah, we don't feed babies dick milk. There's no excuse for it to be out.
Right.
Yeah. But is breastfeeding too much in public?
Oh, my God.
We're idiots.
Oh, my God. Well, I asked for consent. At least my baby did when he cried.
God. All right. Andrea Comedy, follow at Andrea Comedy, right?
Thank you.
And the show you want to hear is the Hot Mess Comedy Hour. And it's funny to do this for an hour and a half and then go, funny, 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 comedy, comedy, comedy.
Jokes. Well, I will say that I am also doing an hour of stand-up on October 13th. So if you're interested in some of my man-hating vitriol, it's going to be not stand-up. I'm going to do an hour of woman comedy, which is actually not stand-up. It's slam poetry.
You guys, this is a Keith and the Girl reunion of sorts.
Yes.
Of course we're going to be there. Of course, like the people that you hear about and the community that we talk about for Keith and the Girl is going to be there, mixed in with the Hot Mess Comedy Hour folks.
Yes.
Yes. It's like bringing your school friends to your like summer camp friends.
Right. Everyone cool's going to be there.
It's true.
There's going to be a man opening for me. Oh my God.
So it starts comfortable.
Right. Everyone needs to feel okay. He's going to come out, whip his prick out, and then we will begin the traditional stand-up comedy. A man comedian who is very funny and a friend and not a creep, Daniel Simonson. He's one of my favorites. Emily is going to be hosting. It's going to be great. I'm really excited for it. I do see that you guys are buying tickets, and I really appreciate it. So you can go to, on my Instagram, there is the little link in the bio section, and that's Andrea_Allen88. The Hot Mess Comedy Hour Instagram, the link is in the bio there too. You can email hotmesscomedyhour@gmail.com if you want me to send you the link. It's on Twitter. It's like all over my social media, so please do check it out.
Okay. Now that we're drummed out of the business, we'll talk to you next week when this is a science podcast. Have a great weekend. KeithandTheGirl.com.